morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 396-0577, or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com, which, I tell you what, a lot of people did that last month. I don't know if it was the early cold spell or not, but we're always tracking our analytics, our numbers online, and there is something called organic search traffic. And John, you probably know about
this. Part of
dealing
Google Analytics
with your web stuff.
Yes,
it is.
I know it well.
And you're looking at search terms and non-paid search where you're ranking. And we were up year over year last month by 124%.
See, and when we say non-paid, when they say organic, it means that people hear about it and then they go to the website. It's not the result of a paid advertisement.
Absolutely. Plus, we spend an immense amount of time and money on adding content, relevant data to the website, information like that that will organically turn those results. The higher up we are in those search results, the more clicks that come through that page, the more exposure that our customers are getting for their houses.
And it kind of snowballs.
It really does. And so, I mean, we've been on a 2.5 year strategy to get that number way up. So really fun to see a huge increase like that. And in today's day and age, when the weather starts to get cold and it gets like that, people even more so than normal go to those sources to be searching for homes.
Exactly. So, and it's kind of like Facebook too. The more click-throughs, the more page views, then they will jump on it and they will expose it to more people and it snowballs.
That is absolutely correct. So having a lot of fun with that. So thank you for going to the website, putting in your inquiries, getting a hold of us that way.
So in other words, you guys have gone viral in a good way.
We've been pretty much. I'll take it. I'll take those views and searches any way I can get them. And John, how's the rest of life going with you?
Well, I'm still a little bit giddy over the other night. It was, what, a week ago Thursday, the miracle in Motown.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
I did catch some of that. That was pretty incredible, huh?
Mm-hmm. And the wife is happy because the Cowboys won last Sunday. So life is good in our house.
Life has been
or was Monday.
Very good. That is fantastic. Well, we always like to start off with kind of a crazy house of the week, something a little bit different out there, sometimes celebrity. Interesting enough, I didn't even know it at the time when I saw the picture, but the house featured this week, I've actually been by twice. And
really?
That is a home that came on the market on San Francisco's famous crooked street, Lombard Street.
Mm.
And I, over the years and a couple trips to San Francisco, I'd actually been down that twice. Well, it's pretty rare, but one of those homes along the street, those are still private residences that everybody goes by, came on the market for sale. And this is the first time that it's been available in 55 years.
Wow.
So currently listed came off Zillow.com blog, and it is an interesting color. It is a pink house. Sometimes I'm against pink homes, but you know, in this setting with the row style homes and duplex style homes, it actually kind of works. And so very interesting. It's a 4,100 square foot duplex with 5 bedrooms and 5 baths. It has decks on all levels, and some of them have a view of San Francisco Bay and the famous Coit Tower there. So,
wow.
Pretty interesting. And that is a list price of nearly $4 million, $3.995 million.
Wow.
Dollars.
Location.
Although the first thought that crossed my mind is the traffic has got to be brutal on that street. I mean, that's one of the things, the first thing you think of when you go there. So, but it looked like, you know, the way they have it with sidewalks and very nicely landscaped. I think a lot of it is, just kind of a little bit of the famous historical value that goes along along with living on a street like Lombard Street. So.
3.9 million.
Yeah, so crazy, crazy stuff there. Well, it's the time of year, and this is a show that we generally do every year and come to expect. It's one of my favorite shows, and I always, at the tail end of our business planning for 2016, I always like to share with our radio listeners the type of goal setting and business, so strategic planning that we do as we prepare to make a huge impact in 2016. So, you know, we've got all of that wrapped up so that we have a plan in place where we're ready to go for 2016. But a lot of people, they're going to be coming up on that crazy New Year's resolution time. When a couple people I know in the back of their mind are already starting to think, what are going to be my New Year's resolutions and what goes along with that? And one of the first things I like to do is take a look at some of the science behind that, behind New Year's resolutions, behind goal setting, behind business planning. And it becomes really, really interesting. So the truth of the matter is, in general, New Year's resolutions don't work, John. That is just, when we look at it, it was amazing as I dug in and did some of the research out of this. 25% of people abandon their New Year's resolutions after 1 week. 1 week, January 7th, done. Wow. Out the window. 60% of people abandon them within 6 months. The average person makes the same New Year's resolution 10 separate times without success. So I know I'm discouraging you here, McKay.
Wow.
But only 5% of those who lose weight on a diet keep it off. 95% regain it. A significant percentage gain back more than they originally lost. And this was what shocked me. Even after a heart attack, only 14% of patients make any lasting changes around eating or exercise. So the first thing that I looked at is, okay, why New Year's resolutions don't work, what about goals? Or are they the same thing? So the biggest thing is there's been numerous studies that have been done on this. One of them recently was Dr. Gail Matthews, psychology professor at the Dominican University in California, did a study on goal setting with 267 participants. She found that you are 42% more likely to achieve your goals just by writing them down. So write down, written, 42% more likely to achieve those goals. So I was totally taken aback by that. And then I dug into a little bit deeper this year. I've always known the statistic. We've talked about it on the radio before. But I wanted to look a little closer at years ago, the Harvard Business Review and the Harvard School of Business did a major, major study on goal setting in business relating to goal setting and success. And the statistics are, they're mind-boggling. I mean, they're incredibly crazy. So, number one was 83% of the population does not have any goals. 83% does not have goals.
Not a single one.
Yeah. So, shocking. Okay, number one, crazy. Number two, 14% of the population have a plan in mind, but those are unwritten goals. So they have a plan. They generally know what they want to do, what they want to accomplish, but those are unwritten. And then the last 3% have goals written down. Okay, so this study, this business study, then found that the 14% who have goals are 10 times more successful than those without goals. So their businesses were 10 times. And that's just the 14% that have a plan. The 3% with written goals are 3 times more successful than the 14%. So we're talking 30 times difference. So, I mean, numerous studies from different schools, different plans that we've gone over here today and come up with that. Obviously, I couldn't find any more information to highlight how necessary, especially in a business environment, and crazy it was to have those goals written down. It just astronomically changes your focus and your mental ability to be able to move forward with a plan. I think the other biggest thing to note, too, is that you definitely want to, when you go into either purchasing a house or selling a house, you want to have a proven plan or system so that you're already elevating yourself to that last 17%. I mean, why would you even deal with the 83% below that line if you were going to be making such a huge transactional choice? So having a business plan like that is a huge, huge thing to do. Like I told you, it's one of the major things that we start doing in the middle of November. We start reviewing where we were at for 2015. And it's been absolutely an incredible experience the last 3 weeks as we've gone through that business planning. As you know, we had the added benefit of having an amazing real estate market in Tri-Cities in 2015. That tide kind of helped lift us to some new records and some new highs also. But we had a lot of written goals. And so when our goal this year was to have over 300 transactions, 308 transactions that we helped those families in the Tri-Cities with their real estate purchases. The crazy thing about these studies and what they say is, and actually my exact number was 308, is we've surpassed that goal already, and we still have a couple weeks left to go. But the interesting thing is we came literally within 3% of that exact number. So you think about writing that number down, looking at your business plan, and you think of all the things that had to happen with 300 different transactions and people and escrow companies, and then to come so close to hitting that number. There's a lot to be said to this science, actually, of goal setting. So
that's pretty close to one a day.
Yeah. We're just about to that point. And actually, McKay, as we look to our business plan of next year, that is part of that plan, is that we're selling, you know, one home a day, if not more. And so we've geared up for that. We've looked at our agents' goals. So every single team member that we have has already gone through the exercise that I was going to walk through, and that is setting three goals amongst five different categories. So we have all of our team members set three goals. They're written out, then they have an action plan for that. And the categories that we use on our team for people out there that are looking at doing this and going through that process is we use five categories of goal setting. Number one in that category is we have personal, mental, and spiritual growth. So looking at what your goals are in that category, do you want to read four books, one book a quarter in the spiritual realm to help you with that? Do you want to take a goal setting class and do that? Do you want to take a memory class to improve your memory? So that's one category that would be me. McKay, I can hook you up. I've actually been to the memory class and it was extremely helpful.
What was that name again?
Nice one. Exactly. Number two category that we use is family. What time, how many times do you want to be, you know, how many weeknights do you want to be home to have dinner with the family? What time do you want to go home? Are there any trips you want to go on? So family is down there on the goal. Number three is educational. What type of classes do you want to take? What type of books? What type of new technology do you want to learn? Now, the fourth goal that we have, and boy, this one always fills up really quickly, McKay. I don't know why, but that's physical. So it's always, there's always something to put in the physical category. And many times, I don't know if it's advertising or the society we live in, but people usually, that's the easiest category for them to fill. You know, run three times a week, lose 20 pounds. I think people are very used to seeing that in the goal setting world. Not so much, I find, with some of the other categories.
And physical is so much. We see a lot of it in today's society,
and I think that's the thing is in advertising and magazines and
it's such an emphasis
and TV and movies like The Biggest Loser and the training movies. You do see that, so I think people are used to that. The other four categories become very, very difficult, but that difficulty of thinking about that is part of what starts that process. And the fifth category is financial. What are your financial goals? If you do want to buy a house at the end of 2016. How much do you want to save each month towards your down payment? How much of debt maybe do you want to pay off with credit cards to help your credit score go up so you can qualify for a better interest rate? So there's a number of things that we can put under those financial categories. So I'll just recap those real quick before the break. And those five categories that we're looking at setting three goals each in are personal, mental, spiritual category, family, educational, physical, and financial. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about some goal setting and ideas to help you, not New Year's resolutions, because we went over that those have a tendency to fail, but go over some additional strategies for goal setting along with some great new real estate inventory that we've added for 2016.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. This week, we've been talking about a topic that's a little bit different than our normal real estate show, but just something that I'm pretty passionate about and feel that is just a big help to people this time of year, and that is goal setting for 2016. In the first break, we went over some statistics about the levels of success achieved in numerous studies by Harvard, University of California. A lot of studies that have shown, as McKay and I were just shaking our heads off the air, that written down goals and business plans can help you achieve in the range of 25 to 30 times the amount of success if those are not written down. And so looking at a change like that is just astronomical. And so
goals are good, resolutions bad.
Yeah, the resolutions not written down don't seem to hold up. So we always like to kind of go over some of those strategies we use. We just wrapped up about a month of reviewing, refining, and looking at these on our team. And so it's always a good reminder for me to get some of that basic information out that can really help with those. Before I go on to our remaining topic about goal setting, though, I always like to get some new inventory in. And this week, even with everything going on, I mean, we really had that warm stretch that helped us out earlier in the week. And so that was really nice. I think we saw temperatures of 60. I tell you what, it was kind of crazy to go from 18 back to 60. But for real estate purposes, melt that snow, get us some better pictures back up. I tell you what, we were loving it and hopping out there showing people as soon as the weather got a little bit better. So some brand new inventory put on is we just listed an amazing new house in South Richland. Now this is brand new construction, 383 Temple Meadow Lane. That is a great South Richland location there, just right off of kind of the Gage Keene intersection back in the neighborhood back there. Like I said, 5-bedroom, 4-bath, plus a den. Lots of upgrades, stunning details in this house. You've got granite counters throughout, super tall ceilings, plenty of space for everyone. Kitchen features the granite counters, the breakfast bar, full tile backsplash, and you've got the master on the main level. A lot of people look for the master on the main level with a large walk-in closet and just an amazing huge tile shower, slider out to the patio, and a very low maintenance backyard. And this house for brand new construction, South Richland, coming in at $375,000 for 5-bedroom, 4-bath. Great, great construction. Fantastic house. Pick number two, on a little bit opposite end of the spectrum for our investor clients, we have at 14 West 14th in Kennewick. And I want to go back and say, McKay, that's the first time the house number has matched the street number in my real estate career.
14 West 14th
is the address. So this is a little duplex in Central Kennewick. So for our investors out there listening, 2-bedroom, 1-bath units on each side, original hardwood floors. It's got some newer windows, newer plumbing, fully fenced front and back yards, off-street parking, and that duplex is coming in $115,000.
Wow.
So for entry-level investment or somebody wanting to do owner-occupied on one side, rent the other side out, very, very difficult to find an investment property like that under $120,000. So give me a call if you have any questions about that particular property. Pick number three. This is 3493 Hanstead in Richland, another South Richland location. This is a four-bedroom, three-bath house plus a den. And this is out there in Brookshire Estates. So a lot of new development going out there. You know, that's by the Home Depot, Walmart, everything. Plus there's a new movie theater right across the street. Great, great location out there. You've got family room with gas fireplace, big chef's kitchen, also granite countertops, double built-in ovens. Very, very nice property. Upstairs, you've got three roomy bedrooms and a full bath. You got a slider out to a covered patio. And on top of that, getting ready for next year coming up, you've got a swimming pool out there in the backyard. So very, very well done house. And that's coming in at $390,000. So there's some good inventory out there this time of year. We have some people already starting to call us and think about coming on the market the 1st of January, kind of to hit that new 2016 market. So we're starting to get very, very busy with what I call those next year inventory calls. Plus some of it with the change in the weather and back to being warm and stuff, some of it we're looking at new inventory that we've put on. So very, very good options out there. If you have interest in any of those, like I said, go to kenmoreteam.com and shoot us a message. So before the break, McKay, we talked about this goal setting, the need to write the goals down.
Put them on paper.
And so I wanted to define the goal a little bit. And the goal is, one of the best definitions I've seen is, a goal is really a dream with an action plan. And that action plan is a very, very important part of that situation. I've seen a lot of people just say, okay, I wrote the goal down. You say I'm 30 times more likely to achieve it now. Can't wait for that to happen. And that if we're missing the action portion of it, it becomes much, much more difficult. So,
well, are you going to lose weight unless you exercise?
Absolutely. And so the very first thing that we go over with folks when we're doing this process is what we call making the goals that you do write down SMART goals. And so SMART is an acronym that we use. And the S part of that is specific. A lot of times we go to weight loss because that's such an easy one. So let's say that you want to, so specific would not be lose weight for my New Year's resolution. Specific would be, I would like to lose 18 pounds. So making the goal specific is very, very important. Number two in the SMART acronym, the M part of SMART, is measurable. Can we make that goal specific, and can we make that goal measurable? For instance, we talked about a category being family. I want to spend more time with my family. Fantastic. We all do. But let's look at currently how much time you're spending. And then if we can make that measurable, I want to spend an additional 3 hours a week with my daughter or with my son. So now we have got that measurable. So now we can look at that and make that measurable, because we have a time factor in there. So that is a big, big help. Onto the A now part of it is attainable. Okay,
realistic.
Looking at the goal and saying, is it attainable? Can I do this? You know, I'm a real estate agent in the Tri-Cities. Can I play in the NFL? That might not be an attainable goal on the list there, given my current age, height, weight, and skill set. So really looking at attainable, because if we don't do this correctly, one of the things that happen is the goal can actually become a negative. It could become a deterrent, because people will look at that and say, oh my gosh, there's just, you know, I'm not even halfway. It's too much. So really taking a look at that, is it attainable? And then actually break it down a little bit more. And you said the word when we were talking about attainable, and that's the R in SMART. And that is it not only attainable, but is it realistic? Is it realistic that, you know, if, you know, if we sold 300 houses this year, is it realistic that we can sell 1,300 next year? You know, probably not. You know, probably not, with the systems and the training and in place that you could do it. So looking at that goal now and saying, is it realistic? Is this something that with a plan put into place that we could go ahead and actually accomplish? And then the last part of it, which is really tough, but makes a big, big difference, and that is the T in SMART, and that T stands for time, timetable. Do you have a deadline? So I'm going to lose 16 pounds, you know, as the goal. Okay, you're going to lose 16 pounds in 2016. When in 2016? Do we really want to save this for the last 2 weeks of December? You know, you might want to say, you know, when, what is your timetable? So I'm going to have lost 16 pounds by June 15th. Okay, so now you have something that is specific. It's measurable. It's attainable. It's realistic. And because we're all human, we need a deadline. So yes, we have a timetable there. So that is the SMART acronym. And we use this with a lot of our clients in buying a house. We relate this to real estate all the time. One of the things that we wrote down was number one is determining what your needs are. What do you need as part of your goal? And that's where we get specific. You know, mm-hmm. I want to buy a house in 2016. So what are your needs? Do you need acreage? Do you need a shop? Do you need a certain amount of bedrooms? Number two, determining what is your budget. Okay, so we bring the finance portion into that.
How much can you realistically afford?
Absolutely. And then number three, we come up, and that's where we bring Tom Coyne into the deal. Now, it should be nice to note that Tom is not, as you probably noticed as we're this far into the show, Tom is not with us this week again, which I'm actually super, super excited about. He was not with us last week because they had just had their baby. And so mm-hmm. I honestly think, McKay, 3 weeks ago, I honestly think he thought he was going to be back this week. So nothing made me smile more, having kids, and my kids are much older than his, when he called yesterday and he's like, hey, buddy, I'm not going to make it again this week. And, you know, I just laughed. You and I are fathers. And I just, I think he found it refreshing because I just laughed and I wrote back and I pretty much said, yeah, I knew you weren't going to be here this week also. Now you know it. So it was good to see him taking some time with the baby and getting everybody situated at his house. So once again, congratulations again to them. But on the list of things to do there is we have meet with your lender. So mm-hmm. setting a deadline, get in, talk to the lender. And the cool part about working with Tom and his team is if you're putting this plan together, he'll help you with the goal setting, with what you need to do, because that's going to be very specific. You need to have these credit cards paid off. You need to have, you know, $7,000 in a savings account for your down payment. What's nice about it is he will give you those specifics and those deadlines, which is a huge part of the goal setting that we just went over. After that, once you're good to go there, then you can meet with us at the Kenmore team and we can help figure out, based upon those goals, those needs, those desires, exactly what's the best fit for you and how we can accomplish those goals. So for us, absolutely, we've increased the number of homes that we want to sell next year. We've hired additional staff to make that happen. We've put on more buyer's agents. So in our business plan, next year is even better than the previous year. So things are still growing and changing dramatically. When it comes to this time of year and I look around us and I see with everything, with Homes for Heroes and the referrals we've gotten from the radio show, mm-hmm. part of goal setting just reminds me of how fortunate we are to be in this community, doing what we've done, and to have the support of our listeners and our hero groups out there with all the referrals they send us. It's an incredible, incredible blessing. So I know I get a little overly crazy about that this time of year, but it really is still as we tally everything up for the year, it's still blowing me away. So thanks again to all of our listeners and everybody out there. That is our kind of give back show on the goal setting. If you have any questions about this process or how we do it or what you might be struggling with, please feel free to give me a call. It is a subject that I become extremely passionate about,
yes,
and love to lead with. It's one of my favorite shows of the year. So I love to talk about that stuff. If you have any questions, let me know. Once again, congratulations to Tom and Kayla on their expanding family. And mm-hmm. He does say he's coming back next week. If he doesn't, you know what? I'm fine with that, McKay.
Yeah.
If he does, I know we will be happy to see there. His team is taking amazing care of our clients in his absence. So
very
that's
much.
Going fantastic. And we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.